You know what's a lot more fun than thinking about how to best pay off student loans? Thinking about how rich you're going to be one day in spite of your student loans. That's why we started the Financially Free Era podcast. Financially Free Era, if you search that term on any podcast platform, you're going to find it. It's hosted by my colleague Megan McGuire over at SLP Wealth. And this podcast is where we dive deep into all the things you want to know about how to be wealthy one day. How do you best maximize tax loopholes and write-offs? How do you best invest money? How do you make smart money moves in spite of even a very large six-figure student loan balance that are going to get you where you want to be much sooner? Go follow the Financially Free Era podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I promise you, if you like Student Loan Planners podcast, you will love Financially Free Era by SLP Wealth. Search that term, follow the show, you will love it.
Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner podcast. I'm Lauren Williams. I'll be your host today. And I'm here with, I'm going to say, a newbie, but also an oldie. Glenn Sanger Hodson has a spirit that's kind of like one of those calming, wise, old spirits. He's new to the SLP team, but he is not at all new to student loans. So I thought it was time to get Glenn on the podcast to share some of his expertise, introduce you all to him. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lauren. I'm really excited to be here today.
Well, why don't we start with you just giving us a little bit of a background about, you know, who is this guy, Glenn? Let's start with like how you became interested in student loans before we get to know you. How did you just stumble upon this subject?
Like you said, I may be new to Student Loan Planner within the last number of months or so, but I'm certainly not new to student loans broadly. And for me, my journey really started working at the Florida State University College of Medicine. And I used to work there previously. I worked there for about 7 years. And during my time there, I worked in a support role, completely unrelated to like personal finance or anything. My prior career was working in film and television production, interestingly enough, for them, and did a lot of communication work for them and that sort of thing. But while I was there, I really came to recognize that there is just a tremendous need for financial advice, and especially financial advice around student loans for early career physicians. Like the mid-career and the late career, they got all the help they need from like financial planners, financial institutions. But it's really those early career doctors who are in residency in the first couple of years and as an attending with 200,000 plus in student loans. And no one's really there to help hold their hand and guide them through this process. And I even remember the moment for me when I really realized that this was what I wanted to do and who I wanted to help was when I was talking to a resident physician one time, and we were interviewing them about the benefits of the program. And it was like a recruitment tool to try and bring them to this particular residency. And we asked them about the benefits of the program, and they just almost broke down crying, saying like, I think we have a 401k, but I don't know. And I think there's some insurance benefits, but like, I'm not signed up for any of them. And add student loans on top of all these other like financial complexities, and you really like set yourself up to either fail or succeed based on what you do. So for me, that was really the beginning. And ever since then, I've been working on becoming a certified financial planner. I'm a certified student loan professional. I've tried to position myself in a way that I can really help not just early career physicians at this point, but anyone who needs help with their student loans.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And the thing that stands out to me is, you know, the number of physicians that we work with at Student Loan Planner and how they feel this pressure that you brought up. Everybody said, you know, physicians are the smartest people. You know, they make the most money. There's all these stereotypes about, you know, what a physician is or does. And they got real life hard things going on, just like the rest of us humans. And like you said, a lot of them are saddled with a good bit of student loan debt. And the compensation doesn't always equal, you know, what people kind of behind the scenes are assuming just simply because they get to call themselves MD. And so it is hard for a lot of them to kind of live up to the hype, do what they love, but then also be saddled with the student loan debt. And it's very, very valuable to be able to help them just, you know, feel better about themselves. They also have kind of this feeling that because they're physicians, because they're smart, they need to know this. And it's like, everybody has their expertise. I can't do a heart surgery, and it's okay that you don't know what to do with your student loans. That's why we are heart surgeons of student loans, if you will. Student loan cardiologist. Okay, that's probably not a thing, right?
Not yet, at least.
A little bit overboard. But yeah, I love that that's the reason that you got into this work. So tell us a little bit about like how long you were doing student loan stuff before you found Student Loan Planner and how you came to find us.
Yeah, I've been, like I said, I've been putting the wheels in motion ever since about 2021. So I've been in the student loan world for about 5 years at this point. And like I said, I started working on my certified financial planner certification while I was there, even earned my MBA, and decided a year or two after that to set out and launch my own firm, just trying to help these doctors wherever it may be. I'm especially trying to focus on the doctors in my area. Again, I'm in Tallahassee, Florida, and really trying to help some of those young physicians who still had ties to FSU as well. And it's really just been a journey ever since then that's blossomed into a whole bunch of opportunities, including my path here to Student Loan Planner, where now I get to help not just the doctors, but the veterinarians, the pharmacists, the dentists, the business owners, different people in the world out there that have these student loans. And like you say, they're not the experts in the student loans, they're the experts in their own lives and their own finances. And they're just looking for a little bit of extra guidance on that front.
One little piece. We got to pause here, you guys. I brought Glenn on the team because I was blown out of this world by how smart he is. But we can't hold it against him that he has affiliations with Tallahassee and Florida State. Fellow Hurricanes that are listening, yes, I did put it aside that he is the enemy because he is so daggone good at student loan stuff.
Yep. Lauren is the bigger person here to find it in her heart to bring me on board. So thank you.
All right. So let's talk a little bit before we get into our subject today. We do have a subject for you guys. So tune in. You know, we're getting to know Glenn, but we also got some student loan goodies for you. I just want to talk a little bit more about, like, you know, who's the Glenn behind the student loan Glenn? You know, what are you into? What are your hobbies? You know, who's your family? What do you get up to on the weekends?
So the biggest thing is my wife and I living here again in Tallahassee, Florida. We now have 4 dogs. We actually just rescued another dog literally off the side of the road just a few months ago and have been trying to integrate him into our lives. So we like to get a lot of time outside, you know, hiking in the area, a lot of natural beauty here in this area. And then beyond that, just spending time with friends or family, big into music as well. So always, you know, listening to music whenever we can, looking for opportunities to go to concerts here as well.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, if you are a dog lover, as am I, if you're a veterinarian, you know, you probably got into your profession because you love animals. Maybe Glenn's your consultant. Like, this might be the guy for you.
Appreciate that, Lauren.
I mean, who doesn't love a person that loves animals, though? Like, yeah, that says something in and of itself about your heart. But let's talk a little bit of student loan stuff, because I'm sure people are feeling a little antsy. It's tax season. Just a couple weeks ago, Sim and Travis came on and they talked some tax stuff. But there's one key piece of tax strategy that I wanted people to be able to clue in on. You know, you've done quite a bit of work in this area, so I think we should talk strategic tax extensions.
Say it 5 times fast.
Today.
I think you're right, Lauren. Sim and Travis had a great conversation in a previous podcast. I think it was last week. Covered a lot of great topics. And in particular, like, if you're having questions around whether you should be filing married, filing separately, or married, filing jointly, that's one of the biggest questions that I'm just dealing with now when I'm talking to clients. But the other big one is this tax extension part. And it really gets down to the question of, when should I be filing my tax return? Because when you file can really have a big impact on exactly how much you're going to end up paying for your student loans. And one of the biggest things I want to talk about, my next slide is going to talk about this as well, is for those who are in the save forbearance, because there are a lot of people, I think there's over 7 million borrowers in the save forbearance, and I hope that all 7 million of them listen to this podcast. but if that's you, if you're still in that save forbearance, it's not just when should you file your tax return, but it's also when are you going to switch off of the save plan into a different plan like pay as you earn or IBR. And that can also then have an impact around when you file your taxes. So I really wanted to just dive really deeply into this specific topic today, draw out a few diagrams and examples on when it can make sense to switch so that hopefully after today, you're clearer on exactly how when you file your taxes can potentially impact what you pay on your student loans.
I love it. Just want to make a disclaimer here that if you are a YouTube listener to the podcast, you're going to get to see a pretty screen and follow along there. But if you're on the regular podcast and all you've got is audio, never fear. Just because you can't see the screen, we're going to make sure that you have everything you need to understand what's going on here. So let's get the party started.
Thank you, Lauren. So first and foremost, the prerequisite to set this up is that you need to know what date your income recertification date is. If you're already on an income-driven repayment plan other than the SAVE plan, so if you're on IBR, pay as you earn, income contingent, then you can just go online and you can look up online at studentaid.gov, I should say. You can look up when your income recertification date is. If you're on that SAVE plan, you're going to have the power to almost choose this because when you switch off of the SAVE plan into one of those other plans, that's going to reset your date. And the key ingredient is that your income recertification date needs to be sometime between April 15th and October 15th for it to work. If you're just outside those, there's maybe a little bit of gray area to make this work. But if you're significantly outside of that, like end of December, early January, this is just not going to work for you. But for most borrowers I talk to, it's somewhere between those two dates. Again, April 15th and October 15th.
Those are the tax filing deadlines, too, just as an FYI.
Yeah, they probably sound familiar, right?
Right. Normal tax day. And then October 15th is if you filed an extension, which the one thing I'll say about extensions is that a lot of people don't realize you can file an extension. It doesn't cost anything to do so. It's a pretty simple process. You don't have to have your taxes done by April 15th, which I'm not trying to, you know, take us off on the wrong path. But I like people to know, like, how does the October date work? A lot of people don't even have a frame of reference for it. Everybody can use the October 15th date as well as the April 15th. Date.
Yeah. And some people just need to. If from personal experience, my personal tax situation is so complex that my wife and I just have to file an extension because we can't get our taxes done by April 15th. There's just too many moving pieces. So potentially something to keep in mind there as well. Disclaimer I want to say to your disclaimer there is that if you do decide to file an extension and file your taxes after April 15th, do your best to get your taxes like done or as close to done as possible. Because if you owe the IRS anything, you want to make sure you get that paid by April 15th to avoid what's called a failure to pay penalty. And that's exactly what it sounds like. If you fail to pay the taxes you owe by April 15th, they hit you with a certain percentage each month after that that you don't pay of the outstanding balance. So you can pay the taxes by April 15th, much like Lauren said, file the extension, which is very free and easy to do. And you don't actually have to file the return until October 15th.
Yeah, no, super duper helpful. So let's talk about these, like you said, what are the strategies that we need to take here to be able to make sure we're making the best of our student loan situation and how we're paying on these loans? Because I think this is the thing that's relevant, like you said, for people on income-driven repayment plans. So those are people that are going for forgiveness. And as a reminder, if you're going for forgiveness, the goal is to pay as little as humanly possible toward the loan. You're trying to pay a portion of what you actually borrowed. It's going to be based on your income. But we're not trying to pay any extra here. And that's why this part of the puzzle is so important.
Absolutely. Great context, Lauren. That's the reason why this is so important. And to figure out if it's right for you, you can see on the screen here that you should really ask yourself a question. It's a very simple one. Did I earn more money last year or did I earn more money the year before that? So say, for example, we're right here at, you know, the beginning of 2026. So you can ask yourself, did I earn more money in 2025? Or did I earn more money in 2024? And I think for most people, you know, we see that over time, our incomes typically go up. And so for most people, that answer is going to be the two-year-old. The year before last year is the one where you had less income. And because your payments on income-driven repayment plans are based off your income, that's where the opportunity to use tax extensions to pick and choose exactly which year's income you use is so powerful. So I have an example on the other slide. I think we'll jump to that. And that'll help hopefully make that a little bit more clear. So like I said, we are right here, kind of on the first part of 2026. And we see April 15th, that's the initial tax filing deadline. And then October 15th is the, if you file an extension, you then get to wait until October 15th to file. So let's ask ourselves a question. I'm just going to use some hypothetical numbers here. In 2024, that was 2 years ago. You know, let's say somebody earned $100,000. And in 2025, let's say that they earned $120,000. Let's say they maybe, you know, switched jobs. They maybe got a good bonus, that sort of thing. And so, like I said on the previous slide, ask yourself, did I earn more in the previous year, 2025, or 2 years ago, 2024? And in this case, the answer is 2024, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other key part of the ingredient, as I said, it depends on when is your income recertification date. So if your income recertification date falls between these two windows, and let's say it's right here, let's say that is July 1st. That's kind of an easy middle of the road date to pick here. If you were to file your taxes on time here, if you were to file them on time on April 15th, then your student loan payment when you recertify is going to be based off this $120,000 number. But instead, if you file that extension, you don't actually have to file your tax return until October 15th, which means that this July 1st, your most recent tax return is going to be from 2024. it's going to be this $100,000 number. And so I don't have a calculator pulled up, but I think we all know that, you know, all else equal, lower income is definitely going to lead to a lower student loan payment. And that's really our goal here. File the extension and you can use a two-year-old tax return. Don't file the extension, you can use your one-year-old tax return.
And so I think this brings up a good point for a lot of like financial planners, a lot of accountants, you know, like you said, tax season, we're always like, oh God, people wait to the last minute and then they're scrambling, they're trying to get everything in. And it drives you up a wall. We want people to be organized from a tax perspective, but we want you to be so organized that you're like, I got all my stuff together, but I'm going to take a pause before I actually file them and take into account other pieces of my financial puzzle. Because the CFP and us, the financial planner that's looking at all pieces of the puzzle, knows that, like I said, your taxes affect more than just your actual, you know, tax liability. There's other parts of your financial life that are affected, you know, even above and beyond student loans. So we want you to be thinking about, how does this affect other pieces of my financial picture? And like I said, specifically, here we are talking about the student loan piece of the puzzle. So to kind of summarize here, we made $100,000 in 2024. We're at the beginning of 2026. And so it is now 2025 tax filing season. But if our 2025 taxes is not yet done in 2026, then we can use our 2024 return, which has a smaller number, to get a smaller payment, which is going to help us maximize the opportunity to get, you know, forgiveness and pay as little as humanly possible.
Yeah, great summary, Lauren. If you take away nothing else from today's podcast, it should be wait and think about your tax filing before you just rush out and do it. And I know I've had a few consults already with folks who are, they were the overachievers, as Travis likes to call them, who just wanted to get their taxes done as soon as possible and didn't stop and ask themselves this simple question. And it potentially cost them a couple $100s per month in student loan payment. So absolutely, Lauren, I think you're right that there's a lot of overlapping factors in our personal finances. And this is just one more piece that I'd encourage everyone today, again, just stop, breathe, and take a moment to think about where your income was in the past and how that might overlap with your student loans.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I was thinking I'm putting my financial planner hat on. So, you know, just to throw some things out there, like I said, taxes are not just for, you know, tax filing deadline. And I know a lot of reasons sometimes people are excited to get their taxes done is because they're trying to get their return. Well, one piece of your financial puzzle you might want to look into is that, you know, you probably shouldn't be getting a return. Most CFPs would say that you want to, you know, organize your taxes in such a way that you're bringing home as much as money as possible on a regular basis so that you're not loaning your money to the government all year long to get that return, because that return is actually money that was due to you all along. It's not a bonus. It's not free money. It was your money all along that could have been coming in your paycheck. So I always just like to remind people, you know, sometimes you're in credit card debt, or, you know, you feel pretty stretched on a monthly basis, and it may be because you don't have the proper withholding from a tax perspective. And so, like I said, if you were really eager to get your taxes done to get that return, it might be also another thing to look into is like adjusting your withholding in such a way that there is no return, but you're doing better on a monthly basis and that you're not stretched so thin.
Yeah, great point, Lauren. I have another example I'd like to share here, because this is the example where what happens if your income goes up, right? But what happens if your income actually went down? And I'll tell you, you know, I've been alluding to our save borrowers here. One of the most common things I'm seeing is that because the save forbearance has been dragging on for so long, a lot of people, especially married couples, decided last year to just file married filing jointly. They're like, there was no benefit to filing separately from the student loans. They were in forbearance. And now that the prospect of having to get off save and start making payments again is a lot closer now, we're exploring, you know, filing separately. And that's an example where, you know, and we'll use, say, next year as an example. We're looking at 2027. Maybe their AGI in 2025, because that would have been 2 years before 2027, was $200,000 jointly. But in 2026, they're able to file separately and say it's just $100,000, you know, cut in half. Imagine a married couple both earning about the same amount of money. So here's an example, or we can, you know, say we're looking ahead to 2027 here where income's gone down. Here's a case where it's actually really easy. Rather than go ahead and file that extension, instead, what you're going to do is you're going to file by April 15th. Because remember, again, especially for our listeners who are listening to the podcast, in our example here, we're saying that July 1st is that recertification date. So if you file an extension in this case, you're now going to end up potentially using that 2025 income, that two-year-old income that's going to be higher. So instead, file on time by April 15th and accelerate that tax return with that lower income. so that you're now using that to recertify here. And you'll kind of notice in our first example for 2026, by filing the extension, we used a tax return from 2024. But now the next year in 2027, by filing on time, we're using one from 2026. And here's an example of, so not just for like the married filing separately couple example that I just mentioned, but especially business owners who maybe have really volatile income that could be really high one year and really low the next year. This is a strategy where you can potentially erase one year from your student loan payment calculations as well. You know, if it's a business owner who had a really good year, or maybe you sold a home and you weren't able to exclude all the gains, or, you know, just some sort of taxable windfall happened in one year, this can become a really powerful tool to erase that one year and use your more normalized income on the other side as well. So it's not just about always extending when this is an option, but also figuring out when to file on time by April 15th to also potentially benefit.
Yeah. And I sometimes even say not so much even file on time, file immediately. You know, I was on a call with somebody the other day and they are eager to get going. They're a lot closer to forgiveness than they thought they were after we kind of went through everything. And I was like, yeah, we're sitting on save, but we're not getting any credit toward forgiveness. So they started to understand like, hey, I want to get going on this. Like, what do I need to do? And they were in a situation where, like you said, the 2024 tax return was much higher than what 2025 was going to be. And they could also do married filing separately. And so it's like, get your taxes done ASAP, get them done filing separately. As soon as they're done, let's get on an IDR plan. You know, let's not even wait till April because your income has gone down in such a way that, you know, even what you were paying before Save is going to be less because of their particular situation. You know, that's not always the case for people. Save was really, really low payments. But in the grand scheme of things, like this was the best way to go about it. And it's like, let's get to it. Let's not just wait till April 15th. Let's get these taxes done today.
Love it. Again, the magic sauce that makes this work is having your recertification date between April 15th and October 15th. But kind of the big reason why I want to talk about this today is not just that it's the middle of tax season and you should be asking yourself these questions about your personal financial situation, but everyone who's on the Save forbearance as well, at some point you're going to have to get off. I know last week we literally just heard some updates on the case, which throws, you know, what's going to happen in the future into more uncertainty. So we don't know exactly when borrowers are necessarily going to be forced off. But if you were on the Save plan and if you switch sometime between April 15th and October 15th this year, it's kind of like taking your own destiny into your own hands. And you now get to choose to have this recertification date right in the magic window. And you're setting yourself up to be able to use these strategic benefits from now until you're done paying off your loans. So that's kind of a big reason I wanted to bring this up today as well, is that if you're looking for more reasons to get off the Save plan and consider switching, setting yourself up to take advantage of strategic tax extensions could potentially save you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars in the long run on your student loans.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes people are sitting on Save and, you know, they're starting to hear like, oh, no, you're wasting time on Save, and, you know, start kicking themselves, and then they start to feel bad and then they do nothing. And I think this is a great time to be like looking at like, look at a way I can make a big difference for what's going to happen going forward, because it's all about taking control of your financial situation with the information that you have. And so if you didn't have this information previously, you didn't have, you know, any information. And so you were just like, I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to stay put because nobody's telling me to get off of this. Now you can take control of your life, your student loan situation, and feel empowered to be able to make the next move, knowing that it's the right one for you.
I love it, Lauren. Well said.
All right. What other things do people need to be considering as it relates to thinking about tax extensions, being on Save, maybe even the other payment plans? What if you're on pay, IBR, RAP? Are there any special considerations for those people?
Yeah. One thing I've been talking about as well, even, you know, for borrowers who are getting off or borrowers who are on pay, is that pay as you earn at some point is also going to be discontinued. And that at some point is July 1st, 2028. So if you're eligible for pay as you earn, that's potentially a good one to get on. And if you're already on it, but your date isn't currently in that window, just know that when it ends, it's going to end July 1st, 2028. That's going to be another opportunity to get onto another plan that's going to be around long-term. And those long-term plans are going to be IBR and the RAP plan. So if you want to start figuring out exactly which of those plans is going to be your best long-term plan, that's also a good opportunity to figure out how you can set yourself up for this as well.
I know it's been a pill for some people to swallow. You're like, Oh my goodness, I got trapped on this save plan. You're telling me to get off, get on pay as you earn, but you're also telling me that that is also going to go away and I need to pick something else. Like, geez, Louise, Lauren. But like I said, knowing is half the battle.
Yeah, we didn't make the rules. I know if we did, it wouldn't have been half as complicated.
Right. They definitely should have consulted us before they made any of these rules. We could have helped them out a bit, but don't shoot the messenger. We're just here to help you navigate this to the best of our abilities so that you can do it to the best of your ability. All right. I think we got it covered. Is there anything else that we need to share with the good people on strategic tax extensions?
You don't have to know what the plan's name is. You just have to know whether or not you can benefit from it and when you should be filing extensions or not. But yeah, I think that's by and large. You know, there may be other reasons that you may file an extension or not file an extension. Like a big one is if you're planning to buy a house, but you need a tax return on record right now to buy it. That would be an example where you'd have to weigh the benefits of, you know, saving a little bit on your student loans versus getting that tax return filed early, for example. So it's still not even a one size fits all plan, but it's a really powerful tool that I just wanted to make sure we took some time today to share with all the SLP listeners because it can be a way to really optimize if you're going for forgiveness or even if you just need lower payments because it's difficult to afford right now. This can be a way to keep those payments lower for longer and really set yourself up for success on your student loans.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it was a key piece of the puzzle. So I'm glad I brought you on. Like I said, community SLP, say hello to Glenn. Feel free to jump on his calendar. Know that you are in good hands. Like I said, I handpicked him myself and he is amazing. As you heard today, we are helping people with, like you said, these things among many others. There's still PSLF buyback and just regular PSLF. There's regular forgiveness. You know, there's, do I need to be borrowing again in the future? What happens after this whole big first July 1st deadline where all these changes happen? If you are just confused about what you need to be doing for yourself personally, because student loans are not one size fits all, don't hesitate to go to studentloanplanner.com, hit the button and go ahead and book a consultation. We are ready to take care of you. The other thing I'll say too is it is tax season. It is a little bit late to be looking for a tax preparer, but it's not too late. If you don't know what you're doing, go ahead and find somebody. You know, TurboTax is great. A lot of people take advantage of it. They're like, I only have a W-2 and it's nice and simple. But don't be afraid to put in that extra legwork to, you know, call a friend, call a family member, go on a few websites and look for someone that's still filing taxes. And like I said, you also have that ability to file that extension if that works for you. But if what we said kind of scared you a little bit and you're like, I don't know what I need to do, then maybe it's time to bring a professional into the scenario. So go ahead and take advantage of that as well. All right. Until next time, Glenn, anything you want to say to the people before we head out?
Oh, thank you so much, Lauren. I appreciate the kind words. And for those of you who do want maybe a consultation where we can dive into this specifically and see if it's a good part of your plan, we would love to help you out with that as well.
Are you on the free Student Loan Planner email list? If yes, you can upgrade your experience and discover student loan loopholes so good they might get repealed if I talk about them publicly. Find out my very best thought leadership that I really just can't be super open about anymore, unfortunately. If you want to get our very best tips, not just the ones that I can share for free, go to studentloanplanner.com/insider to get a special discount for your year membership. That's studentloanplanner.com/insider and get our very best dozens of bonus content and tips that's going to save you money and get you out of student debt faster. And if you're already an SLP insider, please reply back to those emails and let me know how I can make it even more valuable.